Let's go to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. I told you Wednesday night that after last Sunday, you know, if you can get to the point where you think, oh my goodness, all is a black cloud over our heads with no sunlight, no hope. But I was reading in the book of Daniel this week, and boy, the Lord just blessed my heart to remember and be reminded that He sets up one and takes down another. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever He will. No doubt about it. And I want to speak tonight from Daniel chapter 11. And let me see here. I want to begin reading. Oh, let me read. Let's stand together and honor the Word of God. I'm just going to pick a couple of verses here. Let's go with verse 28 and 29. And then I'm going to read verse 32 for us. We're in Daniel chapter 11. And let's read 28. You please join me on 29, if you would. Here's what our Bible says. Then shall, and I'm going to give you the context of this as we start the message tonight, okay? Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. Now drop down to verse 32. Where Daniel wrote, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I love you tonight and thank you so much for your book. And Lord, I pray that the truth is sometimes alarming. The truth is sometimes startling. But I pray that, Lord, we will also know this truth tonight. And that you'll encourage our hearts, God, and bless the young people of this church especially to just grab hold of these truths. Now, thank you for it. Bless song, singer, and the message to follow. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Now darkly, but that day is face to face. I shall see him in his glory, full of truth and full of grace. Oh, to kneel not empty-handed, but a shining crown to give to the one who died to save me, fill me with his power to live.
A crown to catch that is the sun and the crown lay at his feet when all is done.
Yes, the victory was won.
Christ the Son, and the crown lay at His feet when all is done.
Thank you, Ryan, Sarah. God bless you. Good song tonight. Now, I want to speak from verse number 32. I'm going to give you the context of the passage and then the prophetical implications. And look at that again. It says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall He corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Speaking on strong and doing exploits. Let's pray together. My dear Father, thank You for the good song we just heard about running the race and finishing. We know that Jesus won the war for us through His shed blood. We're so thankful for that. And God, we want to come like Paul to that line, that end of a line, and say, "I have kept the faith." And that's a little bit what we're preaching about tonight. So God, prepare us now for the message. May Your Spirit have His way in our hearts. May our hearts be prepared to receive and be challenged by Your book tonight. And give me wisdom and help and power and grace as I bring forth the message. Just the voice. Just that's all I am, the voice. May the Spirit of God do the work, please. And we'll thank You in Christ's name. And amen. Daniel is a book filled with prophecy. You know that if you've been saved for any time at all reading the Bible. It's a fascinating book. Daniel comes under severe attack by Bible critics. They try to place the writing of it much later in time than when it was actually written. And if you place it when they want, it was written in the 500 and something BC and so forth. If you put it when they want it written, it becomes a history book instead of a prophecy book. If it's a history book, anybody can write it. Okay? But if it's prophecy, only God can do that. It's a fascinating book. A lot of practical teaching, a lot of motivational, courageous stories in this book. I mean, you know, the three Hebrew boys and Daniel the lion's den, they rank up there with all-time favorites. You know what I mean? Just tremendous, tremendous. And there's a lot of prophetical implications in the story, in the stories and in the passages here. In this passage, in Daniel chapter 11, Daniel is prophesying about a man I mentioned this morning who will be at the judgment seat, he'll be at the great white throne judgment. Antiochus Epiphanes. He'll be at the great white throne judgment. Okay? That's what he's writing about here. He's writing about Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a successor to his brother Seleucus. He was a vile, vile person living less than 200 years before the birth of Christ. He organized an expedition against Jerusalem. He was vicious. He destroyed much of the city. He was ruthless. He put vast numbers of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Jewish citizens, to death in the most cruel manners. He was a vicious man. And Daniel was prophesying about this cruel king several hundred years before Antiochus came to power. Okay? He had a lot to say about world powers in Daniel chapter 2. And here he's talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, this is not a study on Antiochus. So I want you to look at what Daniel said in verse 32. I'll talk a little bit about him a little further, and then we'll move on to what I want to talk about tonight. It says here, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall He corrupt by flatteries." What's that talking about? Well, Antiochus Epiphanes was going to use flattery. And those Jews whose hearts were not right with God, those Jews who were pretenders, those Jews who were inwardly rebellious and inwardly rebelled against the way of God while outwardly conforming to the way of God. Now don't miss that statement. Inwardly rebelling against the way of God, but outwardly conforming to the way of God. Those Jews whose hearts were already gone from the temple. Those Jews who had already left the covenant worship of God. Those Jews who were already doing wickedly against the covenant in their heart. The Bible says that Antiochus would corrupt them by his flattery. You don't want to be one of those unenlightened Jews holding on to the covenant worship of God. Why, you are enlightened. You're educated. Don't you feel sorry for those Jews who are so pitifully in bondage to the old covenant practices? My goodness, you're enlightened. This is a new day. You know what is best and right for you. And flattery was used by Antiochus to bring out in the open what those folks really were hidden. And he got them away from the, he got them away from God. You know, folks, the real you always comes out. You can only play a game so long. And then the buzzer sounds and you're tired and worn out and you've got to take a rest. The real them came out. That's what Daniel prophesied. Said this man's going to come against Jerusalem. And said through flattery, he's going to corrupt those who had done wickedly against the covenant of God. Now Daniel, they were already wicked in their hearts toward the covenant worship of God. They didn't have any time for it. They didn't have any place for it. They went to the temple. Their body went to the temple, but their heart didn't go. Their lips sang the songs, but their heart wasn't singing. They carried their scroll, their copy of Isaiah and Jeremiah, but their heart wasn't in it. They'd gone through the practices. If they could have had their way, they wouldn't have been there. It wasn't so much part of our family life and part of our culture. I wouldn't do this anymore. When I get a little bit older, in fact, I won't. And Daniel said Antiochus Epiphanes is going to come in, and through flattery, he's going to corrupt many of those Jews. Many of those Jews went away from the covenant worship of God. He said, how could they go away from the covenant worship of God? Hear me. They were gone away long before they went away. That doesn't happen overnight. It happens in here long before it happens out there. He just expedited the outcome, if you will. And so Daniel said, this is what's going to happen. This Antiochus Epiphanes. But I want you to look at the last half of the verse as well. He goes on to say, but. Now I like that. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Daniel said, there's a group of Jews. There's a remnant. They may be a minority. They may be a small group. But they do know their God. They are right with God. And they love God. And they walk with God. And they don't just go to the temple in body. They go to the temple in heart and soul and body. And they don't just sing the songs with their lips. They sing the songs with their hearts. And they read the Old Testament scriptures. And they perform the rituals of the covenant worship of God with their heart. They're locked in. They're locked in. Daniel said, that group will be strong and do exploits. In the face of all the deception. And in the face of all the flattery. And in the face, if you will, of all the apostasy by many of the Jews who are following the flattering words of Antiochus Epiphanes, there'll be a small remnant of people who will be strong for God. They'll stand for God. They'll shout for God. Why? Because their hearts are locked into God. Locked in. Now, that's what he's talking about. And I could go on and say more about this passage right here, talking about the interpretation of the writing of Daniel chapter 11. As is the case, which with much prophecy in the Bible, this is a dual prophecy. This is not only a prophecy about Antiochus Epiphanes. This is a prophecy about the Antichrist. It's all prophetical about Antiochus Epiphanes, and then it's prophetical leaping years ahead about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will lead an army against the city of God. We've looked at that the last several Sunday mornings. He'll lead an army against the people of God. Folks, His Spirit is already at work in this world. You do know that. His Spirit has been at work in this world since the times of John the Apostle. Go with me, if you will, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll go there just for a little bit this evening. 1 John chapter 2. His Spirit's already at work in this world. It is His Spirit that flatters weak. It is His Spirit that flatters rebellious Christians and encourages them to follow the desires of their heart and depart from the ways of Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Now, these words of John were written about after 90 A.D., before the first century was completed. Look at what he says here. Little children, it is the last time. I don't know if we're living in the last days or not, friend. They've been going on for 2,000 years. It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You see that? This was in John's day. The spirit of Antichrist already at work in many Antichrists. Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. You understand? That's part of the spirit. That's part of the result of the spirit of Antichrist, to cause people to depart. That's what happened in Antiochus Epiphanes' day. Some are going to depart. Daniel said, some that are already weak in their heart, some that have already done wickedly against the covenant worship of God, some who are not locked in, they're going through the ritual, they're going to put in their time, it's just an obligation to them, there's no heart in it whatsoever, they're going to depart, they're going to be led away by the flattery, the enlightening words, the tantalizing words, the sophisticated words of Antiochus Epiphanes, going to flatter them, and they're going to depart. And this is also true about what the spirit of Antichrist does in the last time. And we're living in the last time now. Look at 2 John. 2 John. Look at 2 John. And look at verse number 5. You know, this is not a sermon tonight, man. I don't have a point. I don't have an outline. This is a burden on my heart. This is something that God did for me this week. And I just want to unload it for you tonight. Look at 2 John. Look at verse number 5. And this is what he said here. And now I beseech thee, lady. And we talked about that several Wednesday nights ago. We believe that this is written to a local church. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Do you understand, friend, that love is obedience to Christ? You can talk love all you want to about being warm and fuzzy, but if you're living in disobedience to the way of Christ, there's no love in that. Look at what He said. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. What they sang about tonight, what Paul talked about when he talked about keeping the faith. Look to yourself, folks. Cross the finish line. Don't depart from the faith. Don't be led away by seducing spirits. Don't be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. Don't be led away. Get locked into God. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. That's my question. Are you locked into God? Or is your heart already wandering around, flirting with a worldly, carnal, convenient, contemporary Christianity? What are you doing tonight in your heart? I know you're here dressed up for church, but where are you in your heart? Is your heart here tonight? Was your heart here this morning? Is your heart in your Bible reading? Is your heart in your relationship with God? Or is it just going through the motions? Friend, look, if you are flirting, you stand a good chance of being swept away by the rebellious flattery of the spirit of Antichrist. Now hear me, folks. I am no prophet. I'm just a New Testament preacher. But hear me tonight. If I've learned anything about this book, and what's going to happen as we approach the tribulation time, this world will not be very friendly to dedicated children of God. Now you can mark that down. If it's important for you to be of a certain status in the community, you're probably going to have to compromise your testimony for Christ. It's not going to be very friendly to dedicated Christians. This world's not going to be very friendly to aggressive, stand-up-for-Jesus-type Christianity.
This world's not going to be very friendly to knock on your door, hand you a gospel tract. Hey, read this later when you have some time. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? This world's not going to be very friendly to that kind of Christianity. This world's not going to be very friendly to, no, I don't wear that. No, I don't drink that. No, I don't go there. No, I don't say that. No, I won't listen to that because I love God Christianity. This world's not going to be very friendly to that. And by the way, while I'm thinking about this, don't feel sorry. Don't be sympathetic for me because I have standards. Don't feel sorry for me because I'm still living in the dark ages of independent Baptist fundamentalism. I'm real happy where I am. And don't feel like, you know, that poor soul still, he's living in bondage. He's unenlightened. You understand, this is 2008. Brother Joe, help us here, okay? All right, sir, thank you. Don't feel sorry for me, friend. Don't apologize. I'm not worried. I'm as happy as a coon and a corn dog. Coon and a corn dog. It's been so long since I've said it, I forgot. Coon in the cornfield with the hound dogs tied. There it is. Yeah. Hey, don't don't apologize that my girls and my wife still dress like everybody used to dress. Don't apologize. You don't have to feel pity for me. And don't feel pity for my wife and children. They don't want your pity. In fact, if I changed my standards and said, dress like you want to, I don't think she'd change a lick. It's kind of her Christianity. Huh? And a couple of my older daughters have already made that decision, and I hope the others will too. Amen. Apologize. Don't have sympathy for me because I have some old-fashioned standards of Christianity that all of God's people used to have. Absolutely right. Yeah. That type of Christianity is not going to be very worldly friendly. It's not going to be very worldly well thought of. And this is my burden tonight. You know, we hear something, and I'm everybody, but boy, particularly the young people. You hear something like Brother Harding preached last week, truth. But man, don't tell me you enjoy. I mean, you might have enjoyed it in the sense that, man, he laid it out there. But, you know, that's hard to take. When you hear things like that, you hear that many, you know, you hear things like many will depart after the spirit of Antichrist, just like many Jews departed after the flattery of Antiochus Epiphanes. And you wonder, you young people, you know, bless your hearts, you have to wonder. You have to think to yourself, what's going to happen? If you listen to the preaching, you have to think to yourself, what's going to happen? Is there going to be any freedom left? You know, will I have a family? Will we drive cars? Will there be any food to eat? Will there be a church to go to? Are any Christians going to finish with the same fervency and dedication that they started with? You know, Christian youth, you have to be... Maybe you don't have to be, but I wonder if you aren't sometimes a tad bit confused because this person says that these things don't matter anymore. And this person says, yes, they do matter. And little by little, all standards have been changed and the church services, you know, are take it or leave it. You know, you can go or not go. It doesn't matter Wednesday night. The Bible's being taught, but you know what? If you don't want to go, don't worry about it. Don't worry about Sunday if you're not going to be there. Don't worry about it. What is right? What is wrong? What is expected of me? Will there be any semblance of Christian faith left when Jesus comes? And I'm very serious that the faith cannot be confined to a body of belief. The faith has to be a body of belief that is embodied by our lives. That's why we're here tonight. This is part of our faith. What we believe. And what you believe shows up in what you do. And what you don't do. And you young people have to wonder, will there be any semblance of Christianity left when Jesus comes? And my answer without hesitation tonight is yes. What was true in Antioch Epiphanes' day will be true when Jesus comes. Daniel said there will be a remnant of Jews who will be strong in the face of apostasy and in the face of departing Jews, those departing the covenant worship of God, those being seduced by flattering spirits. In the face of all that, there will be a group of Jews who will be strong. They'll know their God and they will do exploits. And while some are departing through the spirit of Antichrist, while some are departing because of the anti-Christian spirit of the age, the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I believe that, friend, with all my heart. All my heart. I mean, I believe, let me tell you, if you're true blue in your heart, if you know your God, if you know Him through His Word, and I was thinking the night as we were singing, my mind jumped back two Sunday nights ago, the testimonies that you teenagers gave about some decisions you made at youth conference about being in your Bible. I hope you haven't forgot those decisions. Stay with it. If you know your God through His Word, learn to know God through His Word. You say, but Brother Angel, I can't. It's so hard in some of these Old Testament passages. Then go to one that you can get blessed from. And read it. And read it fervently. And read it with the purpose and intention of getting something from it. Those who know Him through your experience of walking in faith. Those who know Him through some answered prayer. Huh? Is there any little bitty prayer that's been answered? And honey, Steve, Brother DeVries reminded me tonight that this is August the 3rd and we're through July and Ashley hasn't had that baby yet. Praise God. That's an answer to prayer. Yeah. She could have it any day, but it's August and it's 36 weeks and it's much better than it was 4 weeks ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Those who know Him through fellowship with Him. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Talking to Him. Talking to Him about your day. Talking to Him about the schoolwork you're going to tackle. Talking to Him about the test you're going to take. Talking to God about this. Talking with God. Fellowshipping with Him. Those that know Him because of your love for Him. You can be strong. And you can not only be strong. That's a defensive position. You can do exploits. That's an offensive position. You can be strong and do exploits. Exploits? Exploits like what? Well, like the three Hebrew boys. Yeah. Like the three Hebrew boys who, when they heard the music and thousands around them were bowing down there in the plains of Dura, stood erect and tall. And when they were given the second chance to bow down, they said, King, we don't need a second chance. Our mind's made up, friend. We're not bowing. That was strong. And you know what their exploits were? They didn't burn in that furnace. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them when they came out of it. Do you understand? Do you get the picture, friend? While many, while thousands were departing and bowing, three said, uh-uh. They did the exploits. Exploits like Daniel in the lion's den, who continued to pray out his east window toward Jerusalem three times a day in the face of those hungry lions. And Daniel cast down in there. That was his strength. That was his stand. And he was cast into the lion's den and he was not eaten by those hungry lions. That's an exploit. I'm talking about like the young college girl who sat in the vast auditorium filled with people to hear an infidel rail and just rail against Jesus and rail against God and mock Christianity and mock God, and then finished his lecture by challenging the whole auditorium. Do any of you have anything to say to refute all of this evidence? And in the balcony, a young single college girl stood to her feet and softly began to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And one by one, they all stood up around her until that vast crowd was singing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And that infidel walked off the stage with his head down. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being strong and doing exploits. being strong and doing exploits. There has been that crowd. And I believe there will be more stories in the days prior to when Jesus comes. Prior to when Jesus comes. And young person, the thing that you need to be worried about tonight, you don't need to be worried about the economy as such and prepare to do your schoolwork and love your mom and get locked into God. Get locked into God. Some of you are still flittering away your life day after day after day, passing around full of stuff. If you're not locked in when the flattering, seducing, anti-Christian spirit comes from the Antichrist, you will depart. But if you get locked into God, you will be one of that remnant who will be strong and do exploits. The Bible said to be strong and do exploits. Now, I had this thought this week. Maybe it's not so pleasant to the human, from the human perspective, but what could be stronger than going to your death for Christ's sake? Oh. It was Tertullian who lived between 175, who lived between 155 and 222 A.D., who said this, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." You think about that, friend. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. We must understand, friend, that God takes what is Satan's greatest triumph. What is Satan's greatest triumph concerning the saints of God? Their death. Taking a dedicated, sold-out saint of God and taking him to his death. And yet God takes what is Satan's greatest triumph and turns it into the furthering of the gospel of Christ. You talk about an exploit. Nate Saint, Jim Elliot, Ed McCulley, Pete Fleming, Roger Udarian, went down to evangelize the Aucca Indians of Ecuador, and there they were martyred, and their blood, Satan took five of the finest, most dedicated men of God in that day and killed them. Triumph! Oh no. Because their blood literally became the seed of a great move of God in that part of the world. Many of those, even those who put them to death, converting to Christianity. But you don't come to that point with a weak heart. You don't come to that point without being locked into God. Locked in. I mean dedicated, locked in, loving God. I mean with all your heart, so not just going through the motions. Some of you don't even go through the motions. You plop down because mom and dad brought you here. You just plop down. I'll promise you, friend, you will not be a part of this remnant of people that no doubt it'll come down to a small remnant of people right before tribulation time that will be strong and do exploits. In their death, those five men were strong and they did exploits in their death. The blood of the saints is the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Young people, I'm just simply saying tonight, I don't think you need to get a black cloud mentality. I don't think you need to get the idea that, my goodness, man, there's nothing to live for. There's everything to live for. His name is Jesus Christ. He gave His life for you, shed His blood for you. This is the time for you to learn all you can in school. And that's just starting in a couple, 3 weeks for many of you. And to love your parents and obey them and be loyal to God and get to know Him. And when the time comes, you will be strong and do exploits. If I'm not a seer, not a prophet, But if I've observed anything, and just from talking to a few men who get around, who have no agenda, they have no hidden agenda of ugliness, but it's a different era preaching these days than it used to be. You can preach your guts out, and it's kind of like, okay, ho-hum, hurry up. What are we doing? There is an apathy that is pervading our people. It's pathetic. You can't blow them out of the pew with a stick of dynamite. And I'm not talking about men who have a vendetta against people. I'm talking about men who love people and who've given their lives to try to stir the people of God. And it's like beating their head against the concrete. And if that is happening, friend, then I have to ask myself, are we there? Are we to 2 Timothy chapter 3? Well, many were apart because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. Huh. Are we there? And if so, how quickly will this thing unravel? And you young people sitting here whose hearts are stirred up for God, and you think about, man, is there going to be, what's it going to be like? What's going to happen? How much freedom is going to be left in America if the wrong guy gets in office, and we hear all this, bombarded with all this stuff, and we see people changing and departing from things that they used to believe and said they believed, but now they don't, and it doesn't matter. Yes, it does, and no, it's not. Yes, it is, and it's right and it's wrong. Settle into one thing. Settle into this book right here. Settle into your devotions. Settle into your God. Have a prayer time. Walk with God. Fellowship with God. Talk to God. Get to know Him. Put your heart on Him. Lock into Him, friend. I'm going to tell you something. If you will, you'll come down to the worst kind of temptation and the worst time of testing. And the spirit of rebellion and anti-Christianity and anti-Christ roaring in this day and age. And there may only be a handful, but there will be a remnant of young men and young ladies who know their God. They will be strong and they will do exploits in the face of apostasy. I have no doubt about that. We're on the winning side, friend. And what looks like defeat oftentimes is not. It's victory disguised. My friend, I just beg you teenagers tonight. You know, I think about you. And you young people, you kids, how many of you are old enough to understand all this? You little elementary kids out there, I think about you. You're the future. You're the future. I just say, look, don't get all worried about all this stuff. Let us adults sort through all this mess. You just get locked into your book. Get locked into your God. Get to know Him. Get to know that He answers prayer. Get to know that He loves you. Ask Him some morning, Lord, show me today that You love me. You'll be shocked what He does sometimes. Just to show you that He loves you. Because He does. Strong and doing exploits. I preached a lot on the end times in these summer Sundays. On these six messages on this we know. And then we had Brother Chuck Harding. And boy, you hear all this. I just don't want it all to become so heavy, heavy, heavy that... Oh, my goodness. No, 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 no. There will be a remnant of young people, a remnant of people who know God, who love God, and who be strong and do exploits. This is a prophetical passage about Antiochus Epiphanes, but it also jumps years ahead about the Antichrist. There will always be a remnant. I don't know about you, but I want to finish. I want to finish. I don't want to get three quarters of the way through the last lap and croak. I want to come like the Apostle Paul and say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Finished it. Strong in doing exploits. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Oh, my Heavenly Father, I pray, oh God, that You'll reach down tonight, Lord, and take some young person like You took old Job there in the Old Testament. Job said You shook him by his neck. Lord, I pray that You'll please shake us by our neck tonight. God, help us to get locked into You. Help us to love You and honor You. I pray for the young people of this church. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, God of heaven. Faithful God, righteous God, holy God, merciful God, loving God. Oh, God of heaven, reach down tonight. Put a fire in some young man's heart. Put a fire in some young lady's heart tonight. Lord, in spite of all that's going on in the circumstances of our country, in spite of all that's going on, the anti-Christian spirit of our day and age, and in spite of so many departing from the faith, and in spite of the invasion of apathy, oh God, may there please be a remnant of people who know You and will be strong and do exploits. And thank You, dear Father, for the sure, sure proof of it in this passage of Scripture. And I pray that many in this church fellowship, if they live to those days, will be a part of that remnant. Oh God, I want to finish. Help me, oh God. Help the brothers and sisters of this church to finish our course. I'll thank You for it.